WICN in Worcester, this is the Venture Forum, tales of entrepreneurship from central Massachusetts. I'm your host, Mark Reed Edwards, Executive Director of the Venture Forum. Now let's start today's tale. This week's guest on the Venture Forum is Lisa Drexage, Senior Project Manager at WBDC, the Worcester Business Development Corporation. In this role, Lisa crafts and executes complex economic and community development projects. Her passion for enhancing physical space through a user-centric approach is demonstrated through the construction of the Worcester Idea Lab and the Gene McDonough Arts Center, located at 20 Franklin Street, in downtown Worcester. Lisa was also recognized in 2019 as one of the Worcester Business Journal's 40 Under 40. Lisa, it is great to have you on the Venture Forum.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
So can you share a bit about your background and career and what the mission is of WBDC?
Sure. So I grew up not too far away from Worcester in Auburn, Massachusetts. I am very proud to be from this area. I ended up going to school at Connecticut College in New London and studying international relations, oddly enough. I was very interested in sort of interdisciplinary work. So I studied a lot of economics, history, sociology, kind of how it all ties together. From there, I returned back to the area and worked in higher ed for a bit. I was a staff member at the College of the Holy Cross in a few different roles on the campus. And then at that time, I realized I wanted to get back into the business world. So I enrolled at Clark University and eventually got my MBA from Clark. And through that journey, I had done a lot of research with professors regarding the biotechnology industry and how the cluster really got started here in Worcester. So through that work, I ended up getting a job here at the WBDC, the Worcester Business Development Corporation, as a project manager, kind of focusing on economic development, real estate development, as well as some more community development-oriented things, such as developing an innovation ecosystem and working with folks in the arts and culture world.
Yeah, that's really interesting. The WBDC has a pretty broad mandate, doesn't it?
Yes. So we were founded in 1965, and essentially our mission is to increase the number of jobs and the tax base for the city of Worcester and, in general, the region of Worcester County. Worcester was a powerhouse during the Industrial Revolution up until about the 1960s and 70s. And at that time, when we were established, the business leaders were kind of taking a look around at the climate and saying, we need to do something with some of these underutilized properties. And so the core service that the WBDC brings is we bring our nonprofit status to acquire properties. Through that, we're able to fundraise and secure grants and other funding to clean up properties, whether that means subsurface issues or building hazmat related issues. And the goal really is essentially to turn it back to more productive use and really turn it into a productive source for new tax revenue and new jobs for the region.
So you mentioned that you went to Connecticut College, you studied international relations, you probably had a view of the world as a whole. What made you come back to central Massachusetts? Why is it special to you?
I think growing up here, I just realized that I have, you know, my network is here. You know, I have a lot of friends in the area. I have a lot of contacts in the area. And to me, it became clear that Worcester was a place that I could really invest my time and leave a mark. And that was very appealing to me. I did live in Boston area for a few years right after undergrad and didn't feel the same connection to that part of the state. So coming back home to Worcester, Mass was probably the best thing I had decided to see. Mm-hmm. And I've gained incredible experience through the WBDC in a number of different areas, and I'm just very thankful for that.
So I want to start talking about some of the projects you've worked on, the organizations you're involved with, and let's start with the Gene McDonough Arts Center. Can you tell me about your involvement there?
Sure. So the Gene McDonough Arts Center opened a couple years ago, right before the pandemic, unfortunately. And They are a tenant in the building that the WBDC owns downtown. It's located at 20 Franklin Street. And we purchased the facility from the Telegram and Gazette companies. I believe at the time it was the New York Times who owned the newspaper. And the goal was to turn that facility outward. For over 100 years, it had basically one single user. And the WBDC is a really strong advocate of increasing density in, you know, neighborhoods as a way to improve economic development. And so for us, we purchased the property at a discounted price. We secured financing and a number of grants to clean up some of the hazmat related issues and then redevelop the facility into a mixed use building. The largest tenant in the building is Quinsigamon Community College. They host their downtown campus there, predominantly nursing, which, through the pandemic has been incredibly important to train the next nurse leaders in the field. On the other side of the facility on Franklin Street, there is a restaurant called Schwarmer Palace, and we basically created two innovation spaces that I'm sure we'll get to in a bit. One of the last pieces of the development of this facility was the Jean McDonough Art Center. So we had phased the development of the center into two different parts. One, and the first being the Worcester Pop-Up, which is a placemaking strategy on how to help kind of bring underutilized spaces back to productive use. So the original Worcester Pop-Up was hosted in the Bay State Savings Bank building on Franklin Street. They had a vacant storefront for many, many years. And so a group of neighborhood stakeholders took it over, cleaned it up to a standard that the code was comfortable with. And we basically started hosting art workshops and other lectures and other really interactive experiences for the neighborhood. Eventually, that space found its permanent home at 20 Franklin Street. And the Worcester Pop-Up continues to provide those really unique arts and culture activities. But it also serves as the lobby for the Brick Box Theater, which is located right behind the Worcester Pop-Up. And so that space is a versatile space so that you can reorganize and redirect the stage and seating into whatever format is most applicable for the event. Conferences can be held there, pitch nights can be held there. So once the pandemic restrictions hopefully subside soon, we see this as a really vital space to gather people together, not only for arts and culture, but also for the entrepreneurship world.
It's really interesting how important arts and culture are to a community. Mm-hmm. And often when we think of economic development, we think of, well, you got to bring businesses here. But why would they want to be here if there isn't arts and culture or sports, you know, the Woo Sox, all that? And that is so critical to attracting entrepreneurs, to attract people to live in the community.
Absolutely. I think, if you've looked at the history of a lot of other up and coming cities, off the top of my head, Providence is one that really jumps out. Kind of the leaders in getting in on the ground floor were the artists. You know, obviously, if a city's kind of not on their top footing, real estate's a bit cheaper. That is appealing to artists who are looking for relatively inexpensive space to pursue their work. And then over time, because artists are who they are, they make the place interesting around them. And that just draws more and more people in. And I know, this is happening in the city of Worcester. I know the city and other stakeholders are really trying to take a look and figure out how do we continue to support those stakeholders and keep Worcester the creative powerhouse that it is. And so when the WBDC was approaching 20 Franklin Street, having the mix of arts and culture and technology was really important to us. We felt that that would make the whole block in that portion of the city more interesting and more appealing and draw people down there who then hopefully will go to the Hanover Theater and go to other restaurants nearby. And we also felt that it would draw in other entrepreneurs and startups because they would view this space and this neighborhood as one valuing creativity and innovation. So, you know, I'm hoping once COVID eases that people will come back and return and really see, you know, what the neighborhood has to offer.
So I'd like to talk a bit about the Idea Lab, its sure. mission and its focus. I know a little bit about it. You know, we've talked a couple of times. I'd love you to tell us the Idea Lab story, where it came from, what the facilities are like, and where, you know, what an entrepreneur can get from it if they join.
Sure. So the Idea Lab came out of a lot of research that my colleagues had done before I came to the WBDC on the entrepreneurship landscape of the city of Worcester. So this was done, let's say, 2011, 2012. So mm-hmm. at that time, Worcester had not seen the same numbers of innovation and makerspaces that are in the city as of today. So the WBDC saw that as an opportunity to further develop this world so that young professionals or anyone who is looking to start a company can stay in Worcester and didn't feel the need that they would have to go to Boston or go to New York or go elsewhere. So through that process, we spoke with a lot of the universities in the area, and a lot of them were just starting to think about entrepreneurship as part of their curriculum and part of their offerings. So we envisioned the Idea Lab as a hub, a centralized hub for students, for other local individuals to come to explore project ideas, to explore new companies and startups, and get some access to technical expertise where needed, such as financial advice, legal advice, real estate advice, anything that an entrepreneur would need to move forward. And so, you know, many years passed. It took some time to redevelop the building, and the Idea Lab formally opened in 2015. And the Idea Lab includes two main spaces. It includes a first floor co-working space. We describe it as Class A office space. It's a fairly modern looking space that includes a kitchenette, you know, some private call areas and a conference room. We also provide some, you know, idea walls where it's an opportunity for people to literally write on the wall, you know, to brainstorm with groups. We had used the space for events, particularly with our college partners. They would like to use the space for classrooms, or other kind of social networking events. The other main component of the Idea Lab is a fourth floor accelerator space. So this basically is the next step up for an entrepreneur from the co-working space. They have the opportunity on a month-to-month basis to rent a private office that's dedicated to them. And this has been a great option for people who have kind of outgrown the first floor space, and they just need dedicated space. They know where they're going. They can store all their materials there. And we typically have, you know, we typically have a turnover of about a year for some of those offices, and then people move on. So the overall goal for the Idea Lab from the WBDC perspective was to try to act as another pipeline for the city's entrepreneurs. So they have space where they can work flexibly in the co-working area. Hopefully they continue their progress and they move up to the fourth floor. And then for the WBDC, our goal after that is to try to keep as many companies as possible in downtown Worcester and repopulate the office spaces and the vacant storefronts in the neighborhood. So that's how we were approaching the Worcester Idea Lab and our role in the kind of entrepreneurship ecosystem for the city of Worcester. Over time, obviously, we've had to adapt because new players come to the table. The colleges, obviously, were developing a lot of their own programming. And then obviously COVID happened, so we then had to pivot again. But right now we still have about 10 members who use the space to varying degrees right now. And we're evaluating when people start returning what services they would need to really help them continue to grow their business. And the last thing I'll just say about that is we've worked with a number of the colleges and universities here in Worcester. We've worked with WPI for a year or two. We've worked with Worcester State University for over 5 years now. They have been a great partner, especially their entrepreneurship director, Elaine Vesio. She's been a great resource for not only her students, but for us as needed. And then we formally worked with Becker College, in particular Mass Digi, where we hosted one of their startups that came out of their program.
Yeah, Elaine is great, and we've had her on this program, and it's been great getting to know her over the last several months. I'm interested in kind of the profile of company that might come to you for help. And do you see companies come in on the first floor and move up to the fourth floor? What's that like?
Yeah, we've had, I would describe it as two companies who started off on the first floor and moved up to the fourth floor. Hopefully there'll be more in the years to come. As of right now, the people who are approaching us, the industry types, really vary. We have everyone from kind of IoT spaces, e-commerce spaces, to nonprofits. We have a new member called Athleta Foundation. They are focusing on programming, both career development as well as entrepreneurship assistance to former college athletes. And this was a fascinating organization because I never thought about this problem where these college athletes didn't have time for internships a lot of the time due to their training schedule. And so once they graduated and if they didn't continue to pursue further athletic fields, they were kind of behind in terms of experience with the business world and, you know, various internship experiences. So this foundation was started by two women to really focus on that issue and help these former student athletes succeed in their professional lives. So it really runs the gamut. I would say that our space seems to attract more mature companies. So companies who have already kind of delivered an MVP, have already established that this is like this is a good model. Now they're just trying to accelerate the growth. So
right.
Because of that, we don't necessarily offer a ton of programmatic assistance. Where we come in is we provide the space, obviously, and when we can, we'll provide the social networking opportunities and the other. The other experiences for these startups to share with each other. I would imagine from all the co-working and incubator spaces you've talked to recently, that's probably been a very big challenge of how do you recreate that virtually. So
yeah.
So that will be our next step, just coming back, just trying to figure out how to support the startups in that.
Yeah. You mentioned the pandemic, and I want to talk about that in a moment.
Sure.
And take a look into the future with Lisa Drexage of the Worcester Business Development Corporation. So stay tuned. All right, we're back with Lisa Drexage. Lisa, you raised quite a bit of capital in the past. Capital is a challenge for our area. So what do you think it will take to boost it in central Massachusetts?
Yeah, capital is challenging right now, both from a nonprofit perspective as well as a startup perspective. I think the more we can recruit and encourage businesses to open up here in Worcester, the larger the pool of funds that might be available for us in the future. We have had startups with some pretty successful Class A investment campaigns. One of our member companies, Bluestream, came out of WPI. And what's interesting is my impression is that the companies that really have tight connections with the colleges and university may have a better network to establish some funding connections. So that's something that I would be interested in exploring with a lot of the other entrepreneurship organizations. Is there a way we can engage with the colleges more to figure out connections and networks for our entrepreneurs to reach these people? Hopefully with, you know, the entrance of the Worcester Red Sox and Polar Park and the new development that is proposed for that area, hopefully it'll just bring more people that who share a commitment for investing in Worcester, whether it's the nonprofit sector or whether it's the startup.
And it takes work, right? I mean, it doesn't happen overnight.
No, it doesn't happen overnight. And unfortunately, sometimes the milestones of construction are so visual that people tend to think, okay, that's done. But in certain respects, that's where the real work begins. Because that's the work that's behind the scenes. It involves a lot of conversations, a lot of collaboration. And I'm very optimistic that in Worcester and in Central Mass, we have a consortium developing of these entrepreneurship organizations that I'm hoping can help tackle this issue, whether it's through marketing or whether it's through innovative campaigns that we're trying to secure more money.
So before we kind of get on to hearing about your involvement as a mentor and looking into the future, I do want to dig a bit more into what the last 13, 14 months have been like for Idea Lab and for the Arts Center and for the WBDC during the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a challenge, like for everyone. And we're doing our best to support our existing members, as well as trying to figure out how to recruit new members. And I have to say, we you know, obviously we experienced some members that had to cancel their memberships due to, you know, these circumstances. But we have grown our membership as of right now with three other new members. One world that is kind of untapped as of yet, but maybe a growing sector, are remote workers. Obviously, through the pandemic, a lot of larger companies are trying to figure out, do they need all this office space? And, you know, unfortunately, some of these companies are divesting and are shrinking their footprints. So at that point in time, that's can be a con, but it can also be a positive, because now you have people who are working more remotely and don't have to commute to Boston or other major cities. So why not focus our marketing energy a bit on getting those remote workers into our co-working spaces? I also think as corporate leaders are evaluating where should we host remote workers in the future, the idea of focusing on marketing of the neighborhood will be even more important, right? Office spaces typically have kitchens and dining halls and all sorts of other supplies, but instead of these companies investing in that in their own right, why not look at a neighborhood that already has a lot of these resources available and just figure out where to place workers in the most efficient way? So then the challenge after that, if that is a growing market, how do you meld that with your existing culture of, you know, your current members who may know each other quite a bit? And so I think that's a challenge that a lot of the co-working spaces in the city and beyond will be kind of working on that. In terms of the Jean McDonough Arts Center, we unfortunately weren't able to finish construction of the Brick Box Theater until well into the pandemic, but it is now complete. And they have been hosting some small live performances, as well as live streaming some of their productions and some of their cultural offerings. So that's been a really interesting development to see them pivot to utilize the space as best as possible. With the vaccine rollout, things are looking more positive. So we're cautiously optimistic that people will start slowly returning and start wanting to reconnect and re-engage with each other.
Yeah, it pays to be optimistic in the business we're in, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So one of the things we're really excited about here at the Venture Forum is mentoring. And you're a mentor for E4All. Can you tell me about what drove you to become a mentor?
I've had a little bit of experience in an accelerator program Back in 2015, I was a participant in the Worcester Incubator for Innovation. That was a kind of a STEAM project, and the focus was how do you incorporate arts curriculum into an entrepreneurship program and, you know, see how it impacts the development of, you know, company ideas or product ideas, things like that. Through that experience, I became just intrigued by the concept of accelerators and understanding how the various ones work. Obviously, there are accelerator programs like Mass Challenge. There are smaller programs like E4ALL. And once E4ALL announced that they were indeed coming to Worcester, Mass., I was encouraged by Elaine Vesio to check out the mentorship program. So I didn't quite know what to expect. I'm not necessarily a tech person. I'm not really a startup founder of any sort. However, you know, mentors can be from various backgrounds, and, you know, there's a ton of opportunity for you to really help entrepreneurs progress their ideas.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I like to look to the future as I wrap up these interviews. So peer into the future with me for a moment. What do you see on the horizon for entrepreneurship in Greater Worcester?
I think for entrepreneurship, there'll be like a twofold focus. One focus will be on, you know, the mom and pop kind of small business entrepreneur. I think there's a great opportunity for these entrepreneurs to really figure out a new concept, especially as I think more and more people are looking to their neighborhoods as a source of entertainment. Once the pandemic happened and they realized they couldn't go out wherever they wanted, having local resources nearby is incredibly important. On the flip side of that, from a more tech perspective, I do foresee ideas within the sustainability world. They're going to just become more important, particularly in the area of battery storage, you know, from cars to other technologies. I think that's going to be a big industry, not only for the production of environmentally friendly energy, but also recycling of these batteries. I'm very excited to see where those industries head. And who knows, there's probably going to be some random new technology that you or I can't even think about right now that will pop up in the near future.
Yeah, it's exciting to think about the future. And it's exciting to think that Worcester is developing some really fascinating technologies that will help the future of the planet. That really excites me.
Absolutely. And so I hope that through our work, along with the other consortium members, we can get the word out about what a great place Worcester is to explore your passion and create these really amazing new ideas.
Absolutely. What a great way to end. Thank you so much for joining me on the Venture Forum, Lisa. It was a great discussion.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Mark Reed Edwards. We'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Venture Forum from WICN in Worcester. Join us next week as we continue to share tales of entrepreneurship from Central Massachusetts.